Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, as we once again turn into your scriptures and look at this ancient story of a man named Jonah, Lord, I pray that these ancient words would not, Lord, that you would breathe a fresh word to us, that these would not just be ancient words that we study, a subject that we learn about, but Lord, I pray that you would speak to the depths of us. Lord, I think of the proverb that says that the purposes of the human heart are like deep waters. So Lord, would your spirit move into the deep waters of our hearts? And in that, Lord, would you speak a word of comfort, a word of conviction, a word of hope? Lord, whatever it is we need to hear, would you speak it? Lord, I'm very aware that in this room right now, there are all kinds of experiences. Lord, we've each carried through these doors different struggles, different temptations, different heartaches, different celebrations and joys. Lord, I pray that you would meet each of us in those. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. If you have a Bible, we are going to be in Jonah chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to pick up where we left off. We're in our third week in a series on Jonah. But if you missed the first two, let me catch you up. Bye, kids. Everybody say bye, kids. There's a lot of you. Let me catch you up where we left off. And just so we're all kind of on the same page, and then we're going to talk about some deep things. So let me catch you up. The story of Jonah goes something like this. Once upon a time, that's how it goes. Once upon a time, there was a man named Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God. Jonah was a prophet of God who was called to speak truth to power. Now, small detail in the story, he's called to speak truth to power, but the power that he's called to speak truth to, he doesn't want to speak truth to. Because the people he's supposed to go to is a city called Nineveh, which is the capital city of an enemy empire. So he's called to speak truth to his enemies, but he doesn't want to go to speak truth to his enemies. So instead of going to Nineveh, he goes to Tarshish. Literally the exact opposite direction. He literally runs the exact opposite direction. It's to the very edge of the then known world because they thought the world was flat. By the way, did you know that some people still think the world is flat? The crazies. Yeah. Don't judge me for that. He then, in order to get there, he gets inside a boat. And inside that boat are potentially violent strangers. They have a reputation, these strangers. They have a reputation of looting, of moving into territories and robbing them. We said they're kind of like the pirates of the ancient world. He gets into the boat. And as Tom shared last week, it's not just that he gets into the boat. He buys the boat. He really doesn't want to talk to his enemies. He buys the boat. And not just the boat. He buys the crew and all the cargo. He really doesn't want to talk to his enemies. And he heads off into towards Tarshish. Now, in that boat, a storm comes. And this storm is particularly violent. And the crew that he has just purchased, they freak out. Like, what is this? Are we going to survive this? And so they begin to freak out. And the whole time that this is happening, we read that Jonah is sleeping. Yeah, Jonah is sleeping. He's kind of just checked out. He's given up. He's given up on himself. He's given up. They freak out. They pray to their gods. Nothing happens. They make sacrifices. Nothing happens. Finally, they wake up Jonah and they say, Jonah, do you have anything? Do you have any idea how to stop this? Jonah says, yeah, I kind of have a clue as to why this is happening. You see, God, my God, the God who made the heavens and the seas, he told me to go there. And I said, nope. And so this is probably something to do with that. And so they say, well, how do we stop it? And he says, well, here's how you stop it. Instead of saying, you know what if we just pray and ask God to stop it? He doesn't say that. That would be the obvious answer. He says, here's what you do. God's mad at me. He's not mad at you. So just throw me overboard. You throw me overboard and this storm will stop. They don't want to do that. Even these violent strangers, they don't want to be violent. They don't want to do that to Jonah. And so they say, Jonah, is there anything else? Can we do anything else other than throw you overboard? If this is your God, we don't want him to get mad at us. Like, would you do it? Can we do anything else? And he says, nope, that's what it's going to take. So they do. They throw him overboard and the storm stops. the potentially violent strangers, they all of a sudden recognize this God has to be real. Jonah's God has to be real. They know nothing about Jonah's God, our God. They know nothing about him other than if he can stop the storm, he gets our vote. So they begin to worship God. They say their prayers to God. Jonah sinks down, 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 down. And chapter one ends. Well, by the way, don't worry. It's going to be okay. He gets swallowed by a giant fish, like you saw coming. This is how chapter one ends. Verse 15 of chapter one. Then they took Jonah and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. That's chapter one. That's where we went last week. Chapter one is filled with action. Chapter one is filled with drama. If you were to turn Jonah into a movie, chapter one is like the action sequence. This story kicks off with all of this action. Chapter one. Then we get to chapter two. And it like completely shifts. Chapter two is essentially one long prayer of desperation. That's all it is. All the action, all the movement, this whole thing slows down, and you have a moment where Jonah just offers up to his God, our God, a prayer of desperation. The movement shifts. I actually think that's part of the point. Jonah in this moment says a prayer because Jonah in this moment has hit rock bottom. In fact, if you read his prayer, which we will do, if you read his prayer, there is no better description of hitting rock bottom that I've come across in the words that Jonah prays. Let me read you Jonah chapter 2. We'll read it straight through, and then we'll make a couple comments. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help. And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever." Is that a description of hitting rock bottom? "But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." That's the prayer. That's chapter two. It is honest. It feels sincere, doesn't it? It feels like Jonah means every word he prays. So it's honest, and yet it's completely dishonest. He says, "I will proclaim salvation comes from the Lord," but he will go into Nineveh, and he will not say that. He says, all these great qualities of you, God, you are good. You've saved me. He will, in chapter 4, throw those very words back at God. "I knew you'd do this, God." And so it's honest, the prayer is honest, and yet it's dishonest. Jonah is like a mix. He's like a mix of courageous and cowardice. Jonah is like a mix of, like he's got this passion, I'm gonna go. And at the same time, Jonah is, I'm just gonna go take a little nap in this boat. He's a mix. Jonah, on the other hand, is maybe you can say it like this, Jonah's human, like you and I. We have good days and we have bad days. We have days where our act is together. We are patient with our kids, even as they're poking each other, pushing each other's buttons. We are patient with those little ones. And we have bad days. Days where we fly off fly off the handle. Our fuse is short. We don't act the way we want to act. This story, this chapter is for those of us who have made promises to ourselves. To God, even. We have said things to ourselves and to God. We're going to do this. We're going to do it right this time. And we find ourselves with good intentions, not actually doing the things we want to do. We find ourselves with really good intentions, like bargaining with God. Like, "God, if you would get me out of this situation, whatever the situation is, I will never do it again." And then we get out of the situation and we do it again. This is This, if you find yourself like, yeah, that's kind of feels like what I do, welcome to the club. Welcome to the Jonah Club. Jonah is human like you and I. Now let me read you. I love how one writer, he's actually one of the very first Christians, a guy by the name of Paul, first followers of Jesus. This is how Paul describes it. Try to keep up with this. It's pretty brilliant. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Follow? I will not eat green eggs and ham. I will not eat them. Sam, I am. I will not eat them in a boat. I will not. Yeah, I mean, is this not the human condition? Like, there's the things we want to do. There's the things we want to go for, the things we want to change in ourselves. And we tell ourselves, like, I will eat healthy. I will eat healthy. I will eat healthy. I will start the diet on Monday. How many of us have started a diet on Monday? Right? I will start the diet on Monday. I will go home and I will stay off my phone. I will go a day and I will not have that drink today. I will do it. I will stay sober. I will not lose my temper. I will be patient with the people I love. And we spend all this energy and we focus in on our behavior. Is this story, what I love about Jonah, is this story, like we work really hard. We focus on the behavior. And what the story of Jonah whispers to us is, it won't work. It doesn't work. What I love about the story of Jonah is he actually doesn't get better until he lets go. Chapter 1 is pure Jonah. Jonah is trying to figure it out on his own. Like, he's trying to do it. He's got a plan and he's working. He's going to run. He's going to hide. He's going to bob. He's going to weave. Chapter 1 is pure Jonah. Chapter 2, Jonah gives up. And it's in chapter 2 that Jonah actually gets rescued. It takes rock bottom for Jonah to recognize some things I cannot do on my own. It takes rock bottom for him to recognize some things I cannot do on my own. And it's in that moment that my favorite line in the entire book comes up. If you have a Bible, underline this line. This is powerful. It's Jonah 1, chapter 17. It's when he's given up. It's when he's like, just throw me overboard. We read this. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now again, we'll deal with the fish later. But the Lord, what I love is the Lord provided a fish. The Lord provided a fish. Now stay with me on this. We'll move through this quickly, but see if you can follow this. That word provided is in the original language, the Hebrew language, is the word wayman. Let me hear you say wayman. 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 It does mean provided. It's a good translation. But wayman is not the typical word that gets translated provided. That word is the word yare. Yare. Yare typically is the word that we translate provided. This phrase, the Lord provided, comes up a number of times in the Bible. But almost every single time, the word that's used for provided is the word yare. It's not wayman. Wayman is used only twice in the phrase the Lord provided. It is used here, the Lord provided a fish. And the other time it's used is 2 Kings 13:5. Let me read that for you. The Lord provided a deliverer for Israel, and they escaped the power of Aram. So the Israelites lived in their own homes as they had before. Now this is what I expect God to provide, right? Isn't this when we pray to God? God, would you provide? Like, I'm in the middle of it. This is what I expect. A hero. God provides a hero, and the hero comes in and he sets them free from slavery. He returns them home. I pray, and I expect that the way God's going to answer that prayer is God is going to provide a hero. And sometimes God provides a hero, right? Sometimes. There's the times where it's like, I prayed and she said yes. I prayed for a hero and I got the promotion. I prayed for a hero and I lost the weight. I joined the crazy fad diet where you put butter in your coffee, and somehow it worked. Somehow butter in the coffee works. Sometimes you pray that God would provide, and God actually gives you a hero. Sometimes. You see, the way I expect this story to go is Jonah prays to God, and God sends the Coast Guard. Jonah prays to God, and God sends the strong arms of David Hasselhoff. But this is not the story we get. I expect a hero. We expect a hero, and often we'll like say, God doesn't answer my prayers because he doesn't give me a hero. But what we get in this story is a fish. Jonah, what you get is you get to be swallowed alive. You get to spend 3 days inside of a fish. I can't even imagine what that smelled like. You get to live there for a couple days while you figure out your life. You get to be scared a little bit while you figure out your life. Perhaps you could say it like this. Sometimes God gives us a hero. Sometimes God provides a hero. The prayers we pray, God answers the way we want them to be answered. It goes the way we want it to go. Sometimes God provides a hero, and sometimes God provides a fish. The prayers we pray, God does answer, but he doesn't answer them the ways we want them answered. We want a hero, but we get a fish. Quick story. A couple years ago, I may have told this story. I don't know. It's a big story in my life, so I'll tell it again. A couple of years ago, there was a friend of mine, a now friend. I didn't know this gentleman that well at the time, but he was an alcoholic, and he was really, really in the deep throes of his addiction, just really in the deep throes. And we had tried a bunch of things. We had tried an intervention. I mean, his parents were just, I mean, he had a loving family. His parents were beside themselves. We'll call him Al. Okay, Al for alcoholic. That's how I remember this stuff. So we'll call him Al. And I did what I often do in this moment. I called a person that I know is a hero. There's a person in this church. I won't out this person here, but there's a person in this church who, when I've called this person, has always said yes and has walked beside many people in our church who have battled through an addiction. And so I called this person. We'll call him Soren for sober. Al, the alcoholic, Soren for sober. Okay. I always am worried that I'm going to accidentally use the wrong, anyway. So I will call him Soren, and I call this guy, and I get into his vehicle, and we drive to go find Al. And we eventually find Al. Al is in a camper. Now, winter is coming, and so it's starting to get cold. There's not many campers in this particular lot. And there's no one in the campers that are in the lot except for this guy. And we go in, and he's drunk. And he doesn't want to be drunk. No addict wants to be addicted. He doesn't want to be drunk, but he's drunk, and he cannot see a way out. And so we beg him to go get help. We pray for him. We pray over him. We pray with him. We want him to go get help. We try everything we can. We've tried the interventions. We tried it all. And he says no. Sometimes God provides a hero. Sometimes you go to that kind of moment and they say yes, and they get into the car with you and they go to rehab. Sometimes that happens. But sometimes it takes a fish. And for this particular, by the way, so I say to Soren, the sober hero, I said, Soren, I said, what do we do now? You're better at this than me. What do we do now? And he says, well, now we pray. And it, you know, most of the time he says, because he is a recovering alcoholic, he says, most of the time we need to hit rock bottom. Here's our prayer. We pray that rock bottom lifts so that he hits rock bottom, but it doesn't result in death. That's our prayer. We pray that God lifts rock bottom so rock bottom doesn't result in death, either his own or someone else's. So we pray that prayer, and he doesn't get clean that day. In fact, God sends a fish. He gets arrested, driving under the influence, DUI. He gets thrown in jail for this arrest, and it's just the rock bottom he needs to scare him that it could have been so much worse. And he's been sober since that day. Sometimes God provides a hero and they get into the car with you and they go to rehab. Sometimes you gotta be scared. Sometimes you gotta hit rock bottom. Sometimes you gotta find yourself sinking, seaweed around your legs, down to the roots of the mountains. sometimes you need to pray that God lifts rock bottom. I don't know what your prayers have been, but perhaps it's someone you love. Maybe it's yourself, but probably somebody you love, and they're in the middle of something. Maybe it's not an addiction. Maybe it's a really violent divorce. Maybe it's a really hard breakup, a really bad heartache, a deep depression, whatever it is. I think a lot of times we say these prayers, God, would you send us a hero? Answer my prayers in this way. And maybe one of the things we need to pray, and I've been praying this prayer a lot more myself, is that God would, that they would have to hit rock bottom, but that God would be gracious enough to lift rock bottom. Does this make sense? Now, it's not lost on me that perhaps that is you right now. Perhaps that may be you right now. There is an interesting rhythm throughout Jonah 1 and chapter 1 and 2. There's an interesting rhythm. The more Jonah tries to control it, the more Jonah tries to like fix himself on his own strength, the more he tries everything he knows how to do, buy a boat, he's got money, he's got resources, I'm going to buy a boat, cargo, crew. The more he tries to control the story, the language that's used throughout chapter 1 and chapter 2 is Jonah goes down. So Jonah goes down to Joppa, Jonah goes down in a boat, Jonah goes down below the boat, Jonah sinks down into the sea. It's down, 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 down. Here's an exercise. Go into your Bible and just circle all the times where down is used in the first chapter. In the second chapter even. It's down, down, down. Eventually, the more he tries to control it, he spends all this energy. It's all this motion. Chapter one is story point after story point after story point after story point. The more he tries everything he can do, the further down he goes. Eventually, you go far down enough and you hit bottom. Jonah hits bottom. And then in the moment where Jonah recognizes I've hit bottom, I've gone down, all of a sudden you see the first use of the word up. Let me read it for you. We read it earlier. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. You, not me. You, not me. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Sometimes God provides a hero. Sometimes God provides a fish. Now, we'll talk more about the fish, okay? We'll do the context stuff. We're going to do all that later. There's all these questions. You hear the story of Jonah and everyone wants to know, what kind of fish is it? Is it a whale? Is it a monster of some sort? Leviathan is maybe the word that the Bible would use. Is it that kind of fish? Is it just an analogy, a metaphor? Like, what kind of fish is it? Let me clear that mystery up right now. Let me tell you what kind of fish. So if you're a fisherman, you write this down, you go find this fish. Everyone should go find this fish. Here's the kind of fish it is. The fish is grace. And I know this kind of feels cliche to say that, but the fish is grace, and it is not a cliche. In this story, the fish that swallows up Jonah is the grace of God, and that alone. The fish is grace. It's the grace of God that lifts rock bottom, that Jonah doesn't have to hit rock bottom. Grace is not, I don't deserve a second chance. Grace says, what makes you think you deserve the first chance? Right? Grace is, you didn't deserve, it's not about what you deserve, it's not about what you do, it's not about what you achieve. Grace is, you know what, this is a free gift to you. The fish is grace. Let me just state the obvious, and then we'll wrap. Ooh, okay, let me state the obvious. I get it. It is really easy to preach a sermon about hitting rock bottom from this stage in this venue. I really get it. It's easy to talk about this stuff. It is far more difficult if it is your child who's in the middle of it. It is far more difficult if it is you who's in the middle of it. State the obvious. It is far more difficult if it's your life that is falling apart. So why the fish? Why doesn't God send us heroes? Why doesn't God answer the prayers the way we want them to be answered? There's an interesting clue, I think, in the Jonah prayer. And it's one of those that we read it and it probably went right by you. I've read this many times and it went right by me. But let me read you a passage again and pay attention to the pronouns. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. Did you catch it? Jonah, when he begins talking, Because Jonah is a prophet of God. He knows a lot about God. When Jonah begins praying, he prays to him, to he, to God. At this point in the story, it seems as though God is a subject to be studied. God is an idea to be embraced. God is a religion to participate in. But it is when Jonah sinks to the bottom, it is when Jonah's life falls apart, it's when he hits rock bottom, that all of a sudden, God becomes personal. You, Lord. You, Lord. You, Lord. Why the fish? Why do some of us have to quote DC Talk? Why do some of us have to learn the hard way? Five of you understand that reference. Why the fish? Why does it have to be this way? For some of us, for many of us, actually, I think it is, we have to learn the hard way. And it's God's desire that he would not just be something we know about, but he would be somebody you know personally. I mean, do you know that God is crazy about you? He's crazy about you. Absolutely crazy about you. And for some of us, God can just be an idea. We go to church, sing the songs, we read the whatever. God is an idea that we debate. God is an idea that we vote for, whatever it is. But God's desire is that he would be personal to you. You see, this whole story is about trust. Chapter 2 is all about trust. For so many of us, we ask God to send us a hero. We want a magic pill. We want an easy button, you know, Staples easy button. We want an easy button. When a problem comes, we push the easy button. We do the fad diet. We do whatever. We want an easy button. And unfortunately, sometimes God provides a hero. That happens sometimes. But unfortunately, for the majority of times, it is a fish. It is a friend who just keeps showing up. It is, we actually got busted. We got in trouble. We got caught. And it scared us just enough to stop it. Sometimes it is just a child who looks at us, and we realize in that moment when that child is looking at you that I cannot go on living this way for their sake. It's a fish. It's a fish. You can trust God. He will send a fish. In fact, you may have been praying again and again for a hero and then saying, God is not answering my prayer, when all along there has been fish after fish after fish after fish after fish. You can trust him. You can trust him in your singleness. If you're single and heartbroken, if you're lonely, you can trust him in your loneliness. You can trust him with your marriage. You can trust him with your addiction. You can trust him with your sexuality. You can trust him with your broken heart. You can trust him with your fear, with your doubts, with your depression. You can trust him with your anxiety. You can trust him in your finances. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. I love the story of Jonah. See, we live in this world that we have bought the lie that Google has created an algorithm to answer all the questions. But when it comes to the human soul, no matter how sophisticated Google gets, Google cannot create an algorithm for the human soul. For that, we need a story about a fish, right? We need to be reminded that God sends fish. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you give us grace to understand the depth of the scriptures? Lord, would you wake us up to the beauty and to the truth of these words? And Lord, I pray that anyone here right now who is in need of help, whatever that help might be, Lord, that they would turn to you, that you would show them that you are personal. Lord, I thank you that baptism is coming up. Lord, I thank you that baptism is a actual physical picture of us releasing control. Lord, too many of us have tried to fix it on our own strength, and we can't. And so, Lord, we ask that you would take control of our lives once again. Jesus, thank you. We pray this in your name. And everybody said, would you please stand?